So the idea of reunion, the name is about coming back to ourselves. So coming back to who we truly are, reuniting with our core. In my own experience, once we're more able to do that, then we can reunite with each other. So there's an aspect of community. So that's kind of where reunion, the core of reunion, coming back to ourselves. You know, really a place to do sacred medicines. So the medicines that we do are ayahuasca or psilocybin. So we don't combine those. Guests come down for either an ayahuasca 7-day retreat or a psilocybin 7-day retreat. Both of those medicines are done in a ceremonial context. Obviously, different medicines with different histories and are done somewhat differently, but the idea of a ceremonial context is what we do at reunion.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Psychedelic Conversations. We have a special guest in the house, Brad Wells. Welcome, Brad.
Welcome. Yes, nice to meet you, Susan.
Thank you very much. It was really nice to meet you, and we're looking forward to this conversation. I hope our listeners are going to be really finding this useful, and we've been looking forward to also talking a lot about the retreat centers around the world. So you are from reunionexperience.org. That's the website. Reunion is the retreat center in Costa Rica.
That's correct.
And you are the founder, steward, and workshop facilitator. So I just want to give a little bit of a context to our listeners where your background so they can connect with you, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me on. I'm Canadian, so I've spent most of my life in Canada. And then about 5 years ago, I was looking to take a break. I was really tired and ended up at a center in Costa Rica. I thought I was going to do yoga and plant medicine and you know, just relax. And I ended up unexpectedly at an ayahuasca resort. And at first I was like, you know, what's this all about? I wasn't, you know, really too happy to be there. And 3 days later, after three ceremonies, I just had a transformative experience. So that was kind of my introduction to plant medicine, to ayahuasca. I had this conception that it was a drug and probably wouldn't have signed up for it had I thought that, you know, that was part of the program. But really, really grateful the way it all worked out. So you ask how it happened, I kind of unexpectedly ended up at an ayahuasca center in Costa Rica. And that's what gave birth ultimately to reunion.
Thank you for sharing. Usually it works out the best when there is an unexpected element to it. I think a lot of people go to retreats or come to the experience with reading a lot, researching a lot, which is not a bad thing. Usually it's recommended. However, sometimes this random or spontaneous experience can be really helpful. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. We have a lot of guests that come with a long list of what their expectations are, which can kind of set them up in a certain direction. At the same time, I think looking back personally, having a little bit more of an understanding of what this was about, probably it wouldn't have hurt me, right? Like I think, you know, I spent one night on the mattress thinking, oh my goodness, I'm in a cult. Like this is a cult, right? Just because I wasn't even aware that you're going to take the medicine and then lay down on a mattress. So, you know, had I had a little bit more understanding, I think I could have stopped or avoided some of those stories that were running through my mind.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for speaking to the harm reduction piece as well. I know we talk a lot about being informed, being educated, and coming to an experience equipped with all that information is always the best, of course. But there are some of us out there, like yourself, just randomly found their way into the medicine, right? It's so many people are out there without even knowing what this was.
Yeah. Yeah. And really thankful that it happened, you know, and when I look back on it, for me, it probably was the only way that would have enabled me to experience the medicine. Cause I would have had so many walls up, so many ideas, so many stories about this that I wouldn't have gone there. And, you know, one of our teachers said to me once, you know, it's the classic, the medicine calls. So when you're ready. So I've heard that phrase, you know, numerous times throughout the years. And so I'd look back and I go, yeah, I got the calling. It just had to do it in a way that would work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So always a disclaimer out here, please, you know, make sure you really do your research and find all the information necessary. So Brad, let's talk about the reunion retreat. Is it ayahuasca retreat? What other medicines do you guys offer? What are the programs? How does it all work?
Right. So we do two medicines, right? So first of all, with reunion, maybe just kind of start with that. So the idea of reunion, the name is about coming back to ourselves. So coming back to who we truly are, reuniting with our core. In my own experience, once we're more able to do that, then we can reunite with each other. So there's an aspect of community. So that's kind of where reunion, the core of reunion, coming back to ourselves. And, you know, really a place to do sacred medicines. So the medicines that we do are ayahuasca or psilocybin. So we don't combine those. Guests come down for either an ayahuasca 7-day retreat or a psilocybin 7-day retreat. Both of those medicines are done in a ceremonial context, right? Obviously different medicines with different histories and are done somewhat differently. But the idea of a ceremonial context is what we do at reunion.
Mm-hmm. And why is that important? Your perspective on that would be great.
Well, I think there's different modalities. You know, there's a lot of one-on-one working with, specifically with psilocybin in a treatment or a clinical setting, which you know, I've heard over and again of amazing results. We are very tied to the different indigenous cultures. So our ayahuasca medicine servers, you know, have a long history. They oftentimes have grown up in a village where medicine has, you know, one of our medicine servers, for instance, has been drinking for 36 years. So really part of their culture. So, you know, I think the learning from that is a lot of healing is done in community. And when I will do a sharing circle after every ceremony the next morning, and just listening to the guests share their experiences, to share their stories, is so healing. I mean, it's one of my favorite parts of the week myself, is to sit there and just to hear the journeys, to hear the experiences, and how much that touches different individuals. So that sense of community, that sense of healing together, is what we try to incorporate at a reunion.
That is wonderful. And you mentioned about the therapeutic approaches and different. So what are your thoughts as a larger context? You know, we now in the precipice of what is unfolding in the psychedelic world, and we have clinical settings, we have clinical approach, therapeutic, medical, all kinds. And I really like what you said about the community. I think that aspect seems a bit sort of out far in the distance for a lot of Westerners, because they feel very much isolated and live alone. So yeah, that would be amazing if you could share your perspective.
Yeah, I think the way I view it, Susan, is there's no one way to do medicines. There's no one path, right? So we're certainly not at reunion saying this is the only way that medicine should be done. We're saying that it's a way that resonates with us. And it may resonate with other people. It is in a ceremonial setting. It is in a retreat environment for 7 days, and it is in community, right? I personally have not experienced a one-on-one clinical setting, you know, with a therapist, but the stories I've heard and the feedback would only suggest to me that it's also very profound for the people experiencing that, you know? So I think what we try to do at reunion, you know, we do have a psychotherapist team that helps on our intakes if there's questions, and sometimes there's some integration support, that extra integration support that's provided. So, you know, I think there's a place for both. I think there's a place for these therapies that have really been effective. And I think there's a place for, you know, a setting that provides support in a community environment.
Yeah, that is very helpful. Thank you. I was just going to move on to the question of how does your screening work and how do you take your intake? So you touched on that. What type of people are not really allowed or screened out in your process? Like, what are those, you know, checklists that you tend to stick by?
Yeah, there's a medical screening process that we go through to make sure that the medications the individuals are on are not going to be contraindicated with ayahuasca or psilocybin. So we do a screening of the medical, because the medical safety is really important. But also what's really important from a reunion perspective is, you know, we're not an environment for people that just want to go out and experience a bunch of psychedelics, right? So we do have guests that, you know, I'm going to be in Costa Rica, I'm, you know, skydiving Thursday, and Friday I want to do ayahuasca, and then, you know, I'm going to do some other really amazing event. That's fine. I mean, that's just not who we are. So that idea of you know, checking this off a bucket list and an experience, let's go on a trip. That's not us, right? We're really more of an environment for people that are wanting to really do a lot of personal work. You know, I may use the word personal work. Someone else may call it healing, you know, whatever that word is for you, but it's about growth and self-development. And again, coming back to our core essence, right? So I think you know, there's lots of places to experience medicines, and reunion is really attracting people who resonate with more of that vibe.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I had no idea that would people come out there doing different events and then squeezing in an ayahuasca session. I had no idea.
Yeah, there's I hear that more and more, you know, and not so much in Costa Rica, but I've heard stories, you know, you can be walking down the street and someone will offer you ayahuasca in certain countries, you know, because it's so well known for these medicines. So for us, it's just really a different environment that we've created, that we're trying to create and support. And it's, like I said, one of inner transformation.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What are your facilitators, the teachers, the indigenous teachers say around the Western youth or the trending at the moment? It's really trending. And what do they say about that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because one of our main medicine servers, who does probably the most weeks with us, he's from Peru and has been drinking since he was 12. Right. And he tells the story to guests. I was there last week and he told it again about how when he grew up, this was something that was kept very secret for the village. I mean, he was instructed, even when he went off to university, he was instructed by his father, you know, not to be speaking about this. This is something that's sacred for our community. And as he grew a little older, and sitting with the medicine, he really felt that the medicine was telling him, you know, now is the time to share this with the Western world and people outside of these, you know, the smaller communities. So when he sits with us in Costa Rica and shares that story, it's really inviting because it's not, you know, us coming and kind of taking this and commercializing it. It's really him honoring that call that he had to share his medicine and to make it available. So, you know, I think that what I'm hearing when I hear Indigenous wisdom keepers speak that way is that there is a place for these medicines for the Western world, right? I mean, personally, I'm super grateful, you know, that I had the opportunity. And I think it's a real opportunity for the rest of the world to do some really deep healing, some really deep inner transformation. So, you know, I can only relate that personal story of his and him bringing his medicine to reunion, but it's a positive one, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think there needs to be a lot of respect given back with the idea of reciprocity, that these medicines are a gift versus a right, you know, and really that's our view. We're grateful that this is something that we can make available.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Please share some also information around, it's a nonprofit organization, so a nonprofit company. It's a nonprofit business. So the purpose behind it, and in terms of like reciprocity and taking care of and respecting these medicines, and what are you guys offering? What are you guys doing on that? And what would you like to share about if, let's say, people are really resonating with? I know a lot of business entrepreneurs and people that are really into the business side of the medicine. They are looking to create retreats or programs or teachings, but there is this big question about the reciprocity. So how do we give back? How do we take care of that side?
Yeah. So I can really just speak to my own experience with the medicine. So I had the opportunity to be at various places that did medicine. And one of the things I saw were didn't resonate. You know, I saw sometimes it was, how do we make money? How do we upsell? How do we do certain things to maximize revenue? Which, that's the business world. I mean, you have customers so that you can make as much money as possible off those customers. My experience with the medicine, and the reason we set Reunion up as a not-for-profit is to remove that element of, we're doing this for money. So our goal is to be sustainable, to pay our bills, but it's not driving for a profit, right? Myself, I've made the commitment. I do not receive any compensation from Union. I don't put any of my expenses through. Just my commitment to remove that energy of, what I'm doing is for profit. And I spent 25 years in business. And every time I sat on a plane beside a customer or did an event with a customer, it was always so they would either like our company, like me, buy more, stay with us. I mean, that was always the objective at the end, you know. So even as I sit here today with you, Susan, I'm not doing this to drive guest count and increase our profitability. You know, I can sit here and know that the reason I'm doing this is because I believe this is an important medicine that people need, and really to let people know that Reunion is there as one of those options. So I just think it just removes that. You're a customer. We don't use the word customer. We use the word guest, right? Yeah. I live on the property. We have a number of people, quite a few of our facilitation team and the people that work there live on the property. So for us, this is more of our home, and it's a space that we're opening and welcoming and appreciative that people come and are guests there with us.
That's so wonderful. Thank you for sharing. I think when we have our personal stories attached to, at least if it's the inspiration comes from our own personal transformation journey, there is always this element of wanting to spread the message and creating spaces that so everybody can experience it. There is that drive and inspiration behind it. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. And just to add to that point, I have seen for-profit medicine centers run very, very well. Right. So, you know, we're not coming at this, or I'm not coming at this from a, you know, that's not the way to do it. That's not the objective. We're only coming at it from the perspective for Reunion, and where we're at, running this as a not-for-profit is where we want to be.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So just about your sort of, let's talk about more of the perspective of psychedelic renaissance, the emerging psychedelic renaissance that everyone's talking about at the moment. Your background is from Canada. So what is it like there in the legal system, and how you move about and talk about these things? What is it like there?
Yeah, we're not there yet in Canada from ability to be able to do these medicines that aren't illegal. You know, Canada is regulated on a federal basis, so it's not individual areas that can make these things legal. Like, you know, different states in the U.S. have made psilocybin legal, for instance. In Canada, we're regulated federally. And although some jurisdictions may be more lax than others, it's highly regulated. So one of the reasons that we're in Costa Rica is, obviously, it's a beautiful country and beautiful people. But these medicines are not considered to be illegal like they are in some jurisdictions. And in Canada, they are considered to be illegal, right? Love to open a center in Canada, you know, in my home area. Hopefully that day will come, but we've got a little bit of work to do yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. That's, I think it's kind of going into that direction. I think we are going towards that direction. Even having these conversations is huge, as opposed to a decade or 5 years ago, even. And yes, and US is really driving, like leading the way, and it's looking hopeful. It's looking hopeful.
It is, yeah. And I think that, you know, Canada was one of the first countries to legalize federally marijuana. So there's an understanding that these things that we, you know, I grew up thinking this was a hard drug and this was going to really, really be bad. And marijuana is now legal and the country is doing great, right? So there's people have understood the benefits of some of these medicines that at once were considered to be highly illegal.
Yeah, I once heard that apparently some dispensaries were popping up in Canada, like selling psilocybin. Is that true?
Yeah, there has been a few. Kind of like to go back, originally with marijuana, there would be dispensaries open and they'd be open for a bit. And then the police would close them down and then they'd open on another street corner. And then it became legal. So, you know, everyone's in a shop with regulations. And in magic mushrooms, psilocybin are kind of at that stage now. So, you know, 1 week there's a shop on the corner of Queen Street in Toronto that's selling psilocybin, and next week it's gone to open someplace else. So we're kind of at that early stages.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. It's like a collective effort. I think there's a lot of people that would like this to be a medicine for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. I know based on my own personal experience, that certainly I would like to see that.
Please share with us. What was life before your medicine journey? And then some of the changes that you can maybe share with our listeners.
This is a big question for me, Susan. So before medicine, you know, I was an entrepreneur, business person, really dedicated to growing the different businesses I was involved in. Working hard. I was married to a wonderful woman for close to 25 years. And a lot of my time was spent at work. You know, I remember Sundays used to be my favorite time in the office because there were no distractions, so I could just get a lot of work done. And when I did the medicine the first time or the first week, you know, I came to this realization that I was getting a lot of my self-worth out of my company. And I remember having this conversation, no, that's not me. You know, I had other friends. I was like, no, it's definitely this person, and it's definitely this person who get their identity out of their company. It's not me. And the more I sat with it, the more I could see that, yeah, I was driving a lot of my self-worth from trying to achieve. You know, I grew up, you know, with the whole idea of a good person works hard. You know, being a man is about providing, making an income. So I really adopted all of that into my life. And what I started to realize with ayahuasca is that that wasn't really me. I didn't need that. And I could let it go. So, you know, it was a couple of ceremonies in, but I had made the decision to then sell my company and not be so identified with that organization.
Wow.
So I sold it, and that provided some of the original funding to start Reunion.
Yeah, that's profound. Such a leap in almost faith, leap in faith, isn't it? It's just unknown and just jump.
Yeah, I think the most profound was just to realize how much my self-worth was tied up in external things, you know, the car, the house, the vacation, what, all of these things that I, you know, I really thought were important, right? Not to show off, like, you know, look what I have. For me, it was really coming from, it was telling me that I was worthwhile, which is a hard thing to satisfy, right? Because, yeah. You know, I'm always comparing to, well, yeah, we are successful, but we're not as successful as we could be. So there was always a higher bar, always more to try to achieve. And, you know, that was one of the learnings in the medicine, that's an external validation that perhaps I could give up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of the listeners would resonate with that. I think in the West, we have been tied into that achievement, success, and that driven, you know, inspiration to just have more, accumulate more.
And I think for me, the more was really, it wasn't external. You know, I realized I needed it to prove to myself that I was worthwhile. You know, it's a profound shift to come, at least for me it was, to have this realization that I wasn't this external stuff that I was trying to do. You know, and again, that's the name reunion, you know, coming back to myself, you know, was for me a big leap. Yeah, to your point. Yeah, it was a big leap.
Yeah. What about your family and your friends, social connections? How did they receive it? Because usually I get stories that people, when they make such a radical decision, there's a lot of pushback or at least criticism or rejection, some sort.
Well, I think I did the initial, you know, first couple of times doing the medicine, I'm back home and like, oh, you should do this. You should do it. This, you know, kind of the, you know, talking it up so much. And after, you know, a number of that, I could see that people were receptive, some weren't, people didn't understand it. And I just kind of decided to let that go. Like I would just live my life and, you know, people ask, you know, what I was doing or why were these changes? It seemed to be a more receptive conversation than me having to tell them, you know, because I really did come back with, oh, you should do this, right? And what I've come to learn is, you know, people should do what they're called to do, you know, and to give space for that. I think for me, the biggest transformation, Susan, or the biggest, I mean, that was a big leap coming, you know, from entrepreneur and CEO to, you know, working with the medicines. But, you know, just to share a little bit of my personal story, I was sitting one night in an ayahuasca ceremony and I started to realize just how much I didn't like myself, right? And I've always known that, but I just didn't realize the depth of it. And for me, when I am sitting with the medicine, it's almost like a conversation. It's not out loud voices, but, you know, it certainly is a dialogue. And I heard again, oh, you really don't like yourself. And I'm like, yeah, I know, kind of wanting to shut it down. And then I sat there and I was like, oh my God, I hate myself to the core of who I am, right? And I remember thinking to myself, this ayahuasca doesn't work. You know, I've sat with the medicine and here I am hating myself this much. You know, I'm going to stop doing this. This isn't good for me. And what I heard from the medicine, it's because you've sat with this medicine that you can finally deal with this and address this. And for me, I knew from an early age that I was gay, but I buried that deep. Right. I grew up in a home where, you know, gay people were going to hell. There was just no room for, you know, for anything else. So, you know, my story, you know, if I were to use that term, is not that the medicine outed me because I had a clear choice. You know, I could go home and resume the life I had, or I could choose to live more in integrity and more authentically and come out as a gay man. So that was probably the biggest decision. You know, selling the company, as much as that was tied to my identity, that was probably the easy part. Okay. But really coming to terms with who I was, authentically, the medicine helped me see that. So, you know, not only did I end up doing plant medicine, you know, I sold the company and came out as gay all within a short period of time. Right. So that was the transformative part. Not an easy journey. Right. But one that I would never go back on, and one I am really grateful for.
Yeah, I really appreciate your, you know, openness and being able to share this with our listeners. I agree with you. I think changing countries, homes, jobs and friends, even for that matter, is OK. It's less of painful journey. I think claiming our space and our authenticity in this world is the hardest. I think that's a lot of our listeners also are people that are coming to the medicine are struggling with. It's some of the experiences I get to hear a lot, Brad, is about this message coming in to stay safe and small, like don't talk, don't do much, you know, be invisible, stay small and safe. Don't let anyone know your real deep, you know, honest feelings about yourself and your authentic personality that you are, or the person that you are. I agree. That is the struggle. And people are in talk therapy. They do it for 5 years, 10 years. Nothing really changes or shifts. But there's something about these medicines that can take us to that core real quick. So what I wanted to say with this is that, how did you know that this was already within you? Because what you said was really powerful about many people would do the same. Oh, this is not working. I'm getting more hate. I'm experiencing more negative things. This medicine is not working. I can't, you know, some people come to medicine wanting to feel euphoric, change overnight, you know, shift, paradigm shift within a few hours. And they want to overcome their problems, these existential problems. And when the medicine reveals their stuff, it's been labeled as a bad trip now. So how yeah. did you distinguish this was within you? And then did you get help? Did you get integration support? What was that journey like?
I think all of that, like the integration, the support, the community around is really important. You know, one of the learnings I had early on from one of the teachers I was able to spend time with was that, you know, this idea of a good trip or a bad trip, you know, to let that go. I actually remember once deep in the medicine, I was in the washroom and you know, just having a really rough time. And I said to the medicine, you know, why does every one of these ceremonies have to be so tough for me right now? Like, it's just, you know, and I remember saying, what about the birthday parties and the fun times I had in my life? Like, you know, how come I'm not going into any of that? Like, you know, we're the happy times. And I heard it as clear as can be. You don't need healing from the happy times. Right. Where we're going with this is to deal with the hurt and the pain and the stories that you've been told about yourself and the stories that you tell yourself about yourself. You know, going into that is where the medicine really spent a lot of time with me. So, you know, I heard it externally, but it was on the medicine that I just came to that realization with the help of the medicine that this is why it was tough. Okay, these were the things that needed to be brought up and dealt with, right? Now, there's also been happy times and joyous, you know, times with the medicine. So I wouldn't want to paint the picture. It's all this heavy. I mean, God, life is so different now, right? So, you know, we definitely say that those tough journeys, those tough, what people will call a trip, in my own experience, are worth it because you're going into some of that stuff that's challenging. Some of the stuff that takes years and years to ever get to in talk therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. This is wonderful. It's like giving the context of what is it? What's a bad trip? What's a good trip? You know, what do you look for?
Yeah. And of course, that's kind of the way we grow up in the Western world. Like there's a, you know, if we're not, there's no room for being sad because we got to be happy. There's no room for being angry because we always have to be the other way. And I think that what the medicine has shown me is the full self, all of these emotions, all of who we are great, right? There is no bad emotion. There is no good emotion, you know, experience them all. That's life. That's the joy of life. Right now, we may want to respond to certain things differently over time. You know, I can say now that, you know, when I do feel anger, I'm certainly able to, you know, experience that in a way that's a lot more serving than it used to be. but yeah, it's a journey. You know, experiencing the full self.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. It's the self-acceptance journey, after all.
Yeah. And I'm going to be sad and I'm going to feel lonely sometimes and I'm going to feel happy sometimes and great sometimes. It's experiencing all of that, that in my own experience is adding a richness to life that that I never had before.
Yeah. Again, accepting the contrast does bring more richness and, you know, wonder and purpose, I guess. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, I've come to be just as thankful for the journeys that are challenging, that are difficult, as I am appreciative for the ones where there's a lot of love and light.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderfully said. Thank you. And what about the harm reduction and some of the integration processes that you know you offer in your retreat? So maybe it's a good way to kind of go in there, and then we want to also learn about different offerings you have as we're coming to the end of our conversation, because I can easily stay and talk to you about our personal stories for a long time, because they really open us up. I think they really open our hearts, and it really connects. And I think a lot of people resonate with the personal stories a lot.
Thanks. Well, currently at Reunion, we're running three different programs, right? We just finished our first Cultivating Pride, which was gay men. So it was all gay men for the week, beautiful container. People really felt like, you know, they could relate, they were accepted, and we're going to do the full LGBTQ plus throughout the year. So we have a very specific integration program for that particular week. Designed with a lot of the workshops that we did a shame workshop, for instance. Then there's integration support around those workshops. Then we have what we call Awakening Leadership. It's a program for business leaders and entrepreneurs, and that has its own integration program around the content of that week. And then we have a regular integration program. Each of those are minimum of 4 weeks to give support, you know, to help integrate afterwards. That's where the change in our experience, in my experience, that's where the change takes place. That's where we can take the awarenesses and the insights that we got in the ceremony and start to implement them into our life. And then we also do a monthly call, a community call. So for anyone that's been to Reunion, that like to stay connected, might have questions, there's that ongoing support. So it just doesn't end after a 4 week period. The integration is really important. So we're looking at how can we extend that more and more for people.
These are really wonderful, Brad. I really appreciate this. Because I tend to hear from some of the retreats, for example, when they talk about their offerings, they would say, oh, we have two nights of ayahuasca ceremonies, or we have a weekend retreat or a 7-day retreat with ayahuasca, or maybe like psilocybin. But you're very specific in your program and the title, which I began to value so much more over the years, because coming from a therapy background, I always thought it's about the container, it's about the setting, it's about bringing people to connect and bring in the right structures, and then the medicine. It's never been, so there are lots of retreats that are really highlight, oh, it's an ayahuasca retreat, or it's iboga or ibogaine retreat, or it's psilocybin, which I appreciate that too, because they need to be clear about what this is. But giving a title or giving a context of what they will be experiencing in these programs, calling them a program, I think so appropriate.
Yeah, thanks for that. It's a more challenging way to run the center, you know, because oftentimes if you get 1 week right and you just repeat it, that's an easier way to go. But we just feel, you know, to serve these different communities, we have a Women's Week coming up as well this year in 2024, to serve those different groups in a more unique way, I think does the program more benefit? Does the guest more benefit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. So it's been so great meeting you and learning about you and your story and the mission with your retreat. So where can our listeners find you? The ones that are listening, of course, we'll have everything in the show notes after.
So how to get a hold of us at Reunion? We're located in Costa Rica. Our website is reunionexperience.org. Welcome any questions. We can also book discovery calls if people have further questions or unique questions about their own potential journey or retreat.
Wonderful. And I did look into your retreat. It's a beautiful setting. I've seen the pictures. I was looking at your team. You have a solid team. Seems like they're a really good team you have. So we just appreciate that we connected. So hopefully we might have you back soon to follow up. We love returning guests because we like to follow up and see what projects and things you're working at the moment and in the future. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Well, Susan, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Do comment, share your experiences, ask a question. You can directly get in touch with Brad and his team, or you can just share in the comments. Don't be shy. And I'll see you guys on the next one. Bye for now. Thank you so much for joining us. Psychedelic Conversations podcast is designed to educate, inform, and expand awareness. For more information, please head over to psychedelicconversations.com. You can also share with your friends or leave a review so that we can reach more people. You can also join us in our private Facebook group to keep the conversation going. This show is for information purposes only, and it is not intended to provide mental health or medical advice. Thanks for listening.